What a powerful song, isn't it? Words put the music with the truth of the gospel in them. As Kristen said, we don't celebrate. You know, we're not commanded anywhere in the Bible to celebrate the birth of the Savior. We're not commanded to do that anywhere in the Scripture. We are commanded, as we're going to do this morning, to participate in the Lord's Supper and do this until He comes. So this is one that was called an ordinance of the church. We're also commanded to baptize those who believe. So believers' baptism is something we're strong about today. And you might find it ironic, a lot of our churches are going back to infant baptisms. Even in some of the Baptist Reformed churches are going back to infant baptism. And I just want to challenge you, if you read that and you question your beliefs, it's okay to check out what do you believe and why do you believe. We don't preach Baptist beliefs like Baptists have a corner. We preach Scripture. Baptists believe we're people of the Bible. That's why we preach the Bible. So we have doctrines that we agree and disagree on. But for the most part, we keep the main thing, and that's how we want to keep the Word of God. And it keeps before us. We set our bylaws, our rules based on Scripture, how we do things. We, as best we know how, we want to stick by what the Bible says. And every baptism in the Bible is by immersion. If you look and see, it's every believer has been baptized, then follow through with what they believed, and then it follow through believer's baptism. So if you were christened as a child, listen, the idea of the christening, just so you'll know, on this Christmas, as we're talking about Advent, you talk with your other friends that have different beliefs, that a priest could say some Latin words, sprinkle some water on you, and actually absolve you from the original sin, so that then you therefore can go and make your own choices. And then when you do sin, you can go into a black box, confess them to a man, and the man makes you right by giving you some assignments to do with your rosary. No man has the power to forgive you of your sins. The only forgiveness I can offer you, if you've done me wrong and you say, hey, Clint, I sinned against you, would you forgive me? I can forgive you from my point of view, but I can't forgive you from God's point of view. I can't remove your sins from you, and no man on this earth can do the same. So don't put your trust into a system. Put your trust into the Savior, Jesus Christ, that we celebrate today. So I want to put that out there clearly, because that's a big conversation that's coming up a lot in my circles. And I want to make it clear that the Bible is very clear. You must believe, and then you follow through a believer's baptism. So no one can wash away your sins except the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's go to the Word. If you have a precious copy of God's Word today, Matthew chapter 1, I ask you to invite you to open it up, or open up your app or your smart device to Matthew chapter 1. And I'm in the New King James Version. Somebody said, why don't you preach out of the New King James Version? The answer is because when I got here 17 years ago, those red Bibles in the back of the pew are New King James Version. And I didn't want to make the church buy a whole new set of Bibles. Not that I have a problem with the New King James. So God's Word is God's Word, as we get into and look today. Matthew chapter 1. Now, you can find Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. You'll scratch your head. We said this morning in Bible study, if you have a new friend and you say, hey, you should read the Bible if you're going to try to find out who Christ is, and you put them on to Leviticus or the first chapter of Matthew, what's going to happen? So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. Like, who are these people? And some of us don't even know who these people are. We've been highlighted, people in there, Rahab and some other people in the lineage of Jesus, Abraham, David, the other people mentioned there. But you'll scratch your head going, wait a minute, what is all this about? You have to keep going. So verse 18 is probably the best place to start. If you're brand new to Christianity, or you don't know anything about what Christians believe, while we celebrate Christmas, this is the beginning of the beginning here. So let's do that together and read together Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, you do have to go back and look at verse 17 for reference, and then you do have to go back and look at verse 6 for reference, because there's a conversation about David. King David. Why does it matter? Because remember, God's story, we talked about a couple weeks ago, history is really his story, God's story. And God's telling a story from the beginning of the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 1. Paul says, hey, God's plan was already prepared. God had this plan before the foundation of the earth. Then God does make the foundations of the earth and all the other universes, whatever's out there, God made it. He created it. The Bible gives us record of that. And then he gave mankind a time period. God's beyond time that way and beyond time that way. He has no beginning. He has no end. But he set a time for us. And his story was being told through the garden all the way up to the time of Jesus, even up to the 21st century until forever. God's story is in play. Now, we talked about this morning, if Isaiah, he's going to be a player that's going to, in this passage we're going to read today, Do you remember as a church how long we said Isaiah lived before Jesus came to the earth? You remember the idea, the stretch of time, ish? It's an ish because we don't have exact. 600 to 700 years, okay? So we were used, Ross was our example today, that he was going to be Isaiah. And if he wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit today that we're going to read, that it would be the year 2625 before it was fulfilled, if it was 600 years. Our brains can't even fathom that, can it? 600 years, 2625 before this even comes about. So if we could reverse it and go back in time, this is some 600 to 700 years before it actually happened. It was prophesied by God because God knows what his future is for mankind, even though God already knows, he knows everything that way, and beyond because he's God. So let's read this as we read this with an eye that God, when David was living and when David was dancing before the ark and when David was ruling as king, God had this plan in motion. Understand? God has a plan in motion. Jesus, the sermon title today is Jesus, the only way to eternal life. Let's read it. Here we go. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, she was engaged. It was a strong engagement, just like marriage in their custom. Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. How, church? Secretly or quietly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, and then, what does he call him? Son of David. His dad's name wasn't David, just for the record, okay, that we know of. He's talking about the lineage. God is pairing for us today. Hey, do you remember when King David was on the earth and I said there was going to be always a ruling on his throne from the tribe of what tribe did Jesus come through? Judah. We call him the Lion of Judah for a reason. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah, right? We sing to Jesus because he was of the tribe of Judah. David was of the tribe of Judah. So David's lineage had to actually be part of Jesus' story. David is from the line of Judah. Joseph is from the line of Judah. Mary, his mother, is from the line of Judah. They're from a royal line, if you will. Let's continue. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, what, church? Jesus, and he will save his people from their what? Sins. That's the sin that you and I do on a weekly basis. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name, church, Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And guess what he called him? And he called him Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, it's easy to read this every Christmas season. It's somewhat easy to understand even because we've gotten used to it. But Father, if we really think about it, it blows our mind how detailed you are as a God. Now, if we're in science or any science field, Lord, we see microbes and different things. Or Lord, if we study the stars, we're in the macros. But Father, in just life, we settle through different things going, wow, that's amazing how that worked out. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for salvation. Thank you that you actually are so involved in our lives. Lord, help us today not miss how much you love us, and help us not to miss how much you're in every detail of life, the good, bad, and the ugly. Lord, you're part of it to see us through. You do work all things out, Lord, for your good and for even for our good, because we're called according to your purposes. Thank you for this man named Joseph. Thank you for Mary. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Well, go to your notes. If you have a bulletin, didn't get a bulletin today, we had all kind of crazy problems. Today's bulletin's worth $1,000 a piece. So if you return those in at the end of the service, we'll give you $1,000 cash. Anybody need a bulletin? All right. Do you need a bulletin? We won't give you any money. That's a fake disclosure. It's important for the notes on there, obviously, so you can have something to talk about this Christmas season and any time of the season. Let's go into the Word of God as we look and see. We're going to bounce notes back to the Word. Look at the first paragraph there in your notes on the bulletin. Since before the creation of the world, and especially after the fall of humanity, God had planned to send a Savior, or you can put in there, the Savior. The statement, the birth of Jesus is the gateway to eternal life, highlights our central conviction. This is what we believe. When Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Guess what? We as Christians happen to believe that. We believe that very thing. So throughout history, mankind awaited for the promised Messiah. The Jewish families especially were looking forward to the Messiah's coming. And Jesus' birth marked the visible beginning of God's saving work. Through his incarnation, becoming flesh, life, death, and resurrection, salvation and eternal life became possible for all who would believe. Jesus came into the world as God with us. And Emmanuel, in your notes, I put an E there. It could be Emmanuel in your Bible. It could be printed with an I or with an E. So don't get caught up in the English language of, oh, it's spelled wrong. It's actually both, okay? The spelling is correct both ways. And open up the path to forgiveness, reconciliation with God, and entrance into the kingdom of heaven. In this sense, his birth signified the arrival of the one who is himself the door and the way to eternal life. Did Jesus ever claim himself as the gate? He did. The shepherd who sits by the gate, who protects the sheep. Did Jesus ever consider himself the way or call himself the way? In John 14:6, I just quoted it for you. Was he the door of salvation? Yes. Is he the rock of salvation? The answer is yes. Jesus is who God said he would be. People were looking forward to it. Now, right now on social media and other places, people were constantly saying the same thing the Jewish people said initially when the lie was propagated. The Pharisees and other scribes said, we know who our Father is. What were they saying? They were saying, Jesus, you don't even know who your own Father is. When you were young, your mother was pregnant, and Joseph just married her. We know who our Father is. They were cursing him in a sense, and they did curse him. But the truth is, Jesus didn't know who his Father was. How did Jesus know who his Father was, even as a young man? 12 years old. Do you get a lot of wisdom out of a 12-year-old often? Sometimes they might say something inspirational, but for the most time, it's negligible, right? But Jesus, when he was actually 12 years old and he was left behind, they found him at the temple, and what happens? Did you not know I was supposed to be about my what? Father's business. Not Joseph, the carpenter's father, but his heavenly Father. Jesus is and was from God. Jesus is, what does it say? God with us. Jesus is God, so therefore God came down from heaven and walked among us. This is a message about our God. This is a message about our Savior. He's trying to tell us in time, in our capsule of time that we live in, listen, this is true. It was true when this happened some 2,000 years ago. It was true when Isaiah prophesied it 600 years, so that's 2,700 years ago. It was true back in the garden. That's some, my belief, 6,000 years ago, right? I'm a young earth kind of creationist as I study. God's timing is exactly, everything's happening on time and in the very way that God had planned for it to happen. Did God know about Mary before the beginning of creation? If we sovereign, the answer says he had to knew that that young lady was coming. Did God have her chosen? You don't have to wrestle with this very long to say God had to. God had a plan. God had a purpose. And here we are today. You say, what about me? And what am I, just Swiss cheese? You're part of the story. 2025, your name is registered somewhere, and you matter to God because God has a plan for you and for me. And what we do is we continue to tell his story. We tell his story so that we might reach people for his kingdom. We continue to see, watch what happens, because Joseph had a choice to make. Across the scriptures, look in your notes if you would. Across the scriptures, God made his plan known through prophets, angels, scribes, visions, and many other ways. That's Hebrews chapter 1. It tells us various ways and various times to reach Joseph. God drew him in by revealing part of the plan personally and directly. Well, the New Testament there in 1 Corinthians, Paul reemphasizes or emphasizes, listen, this is the matter that Jesus died according to scriptures. He was raised and he was seen by at least 500. Paul testifies what happened. Today we as Christians preach and teach, we testify to what happened. Just as the angels spoke to Mary here in the story and in the book of Luke, just as the angels spoke to Mary and spoke to Joseph, so we believe God spoke to Adam and Eve, right? Jesus is called, if you continue to study scripture, the second Adam. First Adam sinned, second Adam saved. Just remember that. His name was not Adam, but he come as, if you will, in the picture of Adam. Joseph was a righteous man, but he was still only human, or he was only a man. Because look what it says about what Joseph did. Mary is found pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away. How? We said, secretly or quietly, put this away. Purpose is to save her the shame. They're from a small town. What town were they from? Nazareth. Go back, and I gave you a reference. If you go back and look at Deuteronomy 22, we won't do that this morning because the children are in here. That's a PG-13 scripture. But you go back and look at it. There was actually God made allocations. If a woman was found pregnant due to sinful things that we call today, and we call them illegal things today, if a woman was found pregnant in the city and she didn't cry out, both the man and the woman was to be stoned to death. If she lived in the country and she cried out, but there was nobody to hear, the man was to be stoned to death, and she was not. So there was God made exceptions in his law. He made some instructions. Don't have relationships, intimate relationships, before marriage. He was very clear. And how do you think he wants it today? If we followed God's rules, God's way, guess what would happen today? Be a lot of dead people, right? Y'all said there'd be a lot of, y'all thought the other way, right? What's wrong? Why did God put the rules? Don't do this. Thou shalt not. Why did he put it out in the rules? Because he knew we would. If you read Leviticus, you'd be like, scratch your head. And when my kids, we used to read through the Bible, we're like, Dad, can we skip that part? And I'm like, no, we're going to read it all. Dad, why would God put that gross stuff in the Bible? Because humanity and humans are gross. Aren't we? We have gross, evil sin. It's quiet in the church today, right? I thought this was about Christmas and jingle bells. Listen, it is. But God will save you from your sins. This is a beautiful picture. God is trying to say, hey, listen, draw in. Come a little closer to the fire. And when you get close to the fire, what do you feel? The heat, right? The heat. And so what I want to encourage you today is we draw closer to God's word. God's not just telling us some cute little Christmas story to put on a Christmas card with some sparkly things and light them up. God wants you to be lit up so that you can actually understand this word and then receive it, believe it, and then go tell it. Our responsibility is to go tell the good news of the gospel. Let's continue as Joseph quietly formed his plan to end the engagement. He was going to listen, the engagement, I put the word engagement, it's betrothal. It's more than engagement. They were not just fiancés. They were, as it were, married because, if you read in the scripture, it says, take her as your wife. Take your wife. It was, they had to get a divorce to get out of their betrothal. So it was planned. Joseph, though, quietly, being a man, he planned to end the engagement. Well, how would we feel today? We look around the room. And I would ask the men to stand up if you had an issue, if your wife or your fiance was pregnant. Would we finish the situation? We were like, oh, she's a Christian too, just like everybody else, but she just made some mistakes. What happens? Joseph's on the hook. Mary's on the hook because we got this woman who's pregnant and she's still a virgin. That doesn't happen in any society of any time, of any place, except right here, right now. Either it's a lie, or it's something supernatural that's happened, and we look at the Word of God, and we find out it is definitely something that's supernatural has happened. I jumped the notes. Let me go back up and look. Mary became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph did not want to expose her to public shame, so he resolved to end the engagement quietly. He truly faced a painful and perplexing dilemma, did he not? He was stressed out. This was his wife. This was his girlfriend. They were put together. Parents got together and said, Joseph be great for Mary, Mary be great for Joseph. And that putting together, God was doing the putting together through the parents. Parents, are you responsible for your children? Yes, up to a point. Listen, train them up the way they should go. The proverb tells us. And when they're old, they won't depart from. Some say, well, that's not a promise. That's just a proverb. You take it how you like it. I take it as a promise from God. And I got evidence for my children. Not that they're perfect. God knows they're not perfect because they have me and their mother as their parents. But listen, they do love the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as Joseph, as I said earlier, Joseph quietly formed his plan to end the engagement. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and revealed God's purpose. The angel addressed him by his royal heritage. Don't miss this. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to, specifically, a son. And you are to name him Jesus, specifically. The Lord is salvation. That's what Jesus or Joshua means. For he will save his people from their sins. This Jesus is the gateway to eternal life. The Bible is very clear. Luke 19:10, if you want to turn that or mark that in your Bible. Jesus has now living, of course, he's much older. He's walking through and he sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was what? Somebody's going to say a wee little man. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was a Jewish man of the tribe of, anybody know? Levi. Levites. The Levites could not, they didn't get any inheritance whatsoever when God started splitting all the land up. Levites got none. Why? Because they were to be the priest within all of the community group. They were to be the Levites, the ones who provide worship services for all the tribes. They were to live among the tribes. The tribes were to give offerings. And then the Levites would be there, if you were today, the modern preachers. They were to be to preach and minister to them, the music ministers. They would provide for all the tribes. So they had no land. Well, what's happened is the Jews have scattered. They've gotten far from God. And now the Levites have to find a job to do. We find all kind of crazy things when you read the scripture, what they came up to do. But this Levite was a tax collector for the Romans. And so therefore, since his people wouldn't pay him a salary, what did he do? He got his employment from the Roman government. And since he was a wee little man, as we sing in our songs, right? He was probably picked on and said, you traitor. He was called names because he's working for the Romans, who the Jewish people wanted out and hated. And so he would come back, and the people that maybe bullied him in Jewish school, guess what he would do? How to get rich. You don't get rich on a government salary unless you're in America, right? You don't get rich. So what did he do? He did the same thing our politicians are doing today. He took what was necessary to pay Rome, and then he took a little more. He was rich, had a big house, and Jesus comes to his house, and if you read it, he's so happy. He's responding, if I've done anybody wrong, if, Lord, I've done people wrong, right? So therefore, I'm going to give away, and I'm going to give back, and I'm going to pay back. And what did Jesus say to him? That verse I gave you there was important. Let's just look at it together. We got just a minute. Let's go over to Luke 19:10. This is a powerful statement. I wish this was true for all of us. For Nicodemus, but it is true for all of us. But if it's true for Nicodemus, Luke 19. I wasn't going to look there today, but I want you to see it. When you're there, say amen. Here's what he said. Look what he says. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and to save that which was lost. You say, well, that's all for us. Look at verse 9, back up 1. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. We understand, listen, he has found out who he is. He's come to find out who Jesus is. He's received the truth from Jesus. And now Jesus said, this is why I've come. This is part of God's plan. You want to know the purpose why God sent his only begotten son, why I came to earth, why Emmanuel is happening? This is what it is, to seek and to save that which is lost. That's my name. That's my game, right? That's my purpose. That's my plan, is to seek and to save that which is lost. Go back and look at this. John 14:6, I quoted that for you, where Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except how? Through me. Jesus speaking of himself. We must preach the gospel. We must teach the truth to those we love, those that we like, and those that we dislike. We must go out and preach the gospel to the world. Paul said clearly, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew and then for whom? Who it is? Who is it? The Gentiles. You can say it like this, first for the Jew and then for me. If you're not a Jewish person, you get to go first. But if you're a Gentile, that means the people of the nations, anybody, your background, you're a Gentile. So therefore, the gospel is for first for the Jew and then for, it's for me. And when you hear the gospel, you have a responsibility. What is the gospel simply? Jesus wrapped it up as we talked last week. Because we're talking about this series, It's a Wonderful Everlasting or Eternal Life. Jesus said in John 3:16, speaking of himself, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This was the purpose. That whosoever believes in him, me, shall not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to believe. Jesus is. You have to draw near to God. He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you've sat in church most of your life and you've heard some homilies and you've heard some nice songs or high church or liturgy and you said, "This, I just wish pastor was more liturgical." It's not going to happen. I wear a robe when I baptize. But listen, I wear the robe of the Holy Spirit when I preach and teach. I don't mind if I'm in shorts, t-shirts. If you go around the world, our missionaries aren't wearing a monkey suit oftentimes to preach in. But I would wear a monkey suit if we can get the gospel out. If you have an audience, we must preach and teach that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved from your sins. The end. There is no plan B with God. There is no option with God. His son, his way is his plan. Amen? Let me say it again. His son, his way is his plan. No plan Bs, no other exceptions, no matter the culture, no matter the religious background, no matter the language, it does not matter. Jesus Christ is the only way. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And then when you live each day, Monday looks different than last Monday. If you get saved on Sunday, Monday looks different. Tuesday looks different. You're starting to help others in Jesus' name. You're starting to read the Bible. You're starting to pray and say, listen, I want to get to know God more and more and more. Because if we're not careful, we can read the same Christmas story over and over again. And giving presents is more excited than understanding that Jesus came to save our sorry souls. We get so excited about the presents, what we're going to get for Christmas, and we forget why Christmas exists. That's why the Lord's Supper said, remember this, do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I did for you. Part of the plan was to come and die for your sins, to save you from your sins, to be resurrected so that you can have eternal life, to go to the Father so that the Holy Spirit would come and walk you day by day as you live, to help you talk like Christ, to help you live like Christ, to help you share like Christ, to help you be more and more like Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus came. And the story is still being told today. The question is, are you being faithful to tell the story of God? It's not just something you read. Pop-up opens up the Bible, reads the story, closes the Bible, and then says, okay, have a nice night. Let's open presents. Y'all, it should be the central part of our life 365 days a year. When we feel good, Jesus. When we feel bad, Jesus. When we're happy, Jesus. When we're sad, Jesus. I'm not saying you're going to be a preacher 24-7, y'all. We have bad days, do we not? We've had COVID. We've had, you name it. We've had the stuff. It goes around. I'm not saying you're just going to be like so excited all the time. But Jesus should be the primary focus of our thoughts. Lord, how in my life is it going to be different for you? How do I actually live my life for you today? Well, let's finish out. All this took place to fulfill God's prophetic word. The virgin will conceive and bear will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. When Joseph woke from his dream, he obeyed the angel's command and took Mary as his wife, but he kept her virgin until she gave birth to her son, and he named him what? Joseph Jr., right? No, he was obedient to Christ. That would have been a natural thing to do in their culture, is to name him after the father. Same thing that happened to John, right? God said, so therefore it is. He didn't call him Joseph Jr. He called him Jesus because he knew that was not his biological son. He knew a holy angel had spoken to him, and he understood from the Old Testament that there was a plan, a child was coming, and it just so happened to be on his watch that the child God was going to send was during his lifetime. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? He was the one that was chosen. His wife was the one that was chosen to give birth to the Savior. Well, he named him Jesus. God's righteous plan was accomplished just as God said. If you want to look at that reference is Isaiah 7:14. We go back and we look and see, well, Isaiah was actually, he was right on the money, was he not? We go back and read and say, well, how could he be so precise? He was inspired by God. Well, like, what does that even feel like? If I ask you today, has God spoken to you in the last week? What would you say? Does God still speak today? He does speak. How does he speak? Primarily through his word. But God will also speak through other godly people. The words clammed up inside of them, and God will allow them to give you godly counsel. God also speaks through circumstances. Is God screaming from every Christmas tree today, every Christmas cantata that's around Baptist churches and other churches, every Christmas play that's out there with donkeys and everything going on? God's trying to scream, say, get past the donkeys, get past the camels, get past the cantatas, get to Jesus and make much of my son, right? Make much of my son, Jesus Christ. Because if you're not careful, immigration. I just saw on social media somebody put up a sign saying ICE has come by here and Jesus is missing out of the manger. Jesus was not an immigrant. Jesus is and was the creator of this universe. He has no territories. Amen? He's not some baby in a manger. Listen, that's why he didn't tell us to worship him in the manger like the wise men 2 years later. I know you'll see nativity scenes. We have one here. The one out front depicts the birth of Christ and also depicts it mashes them together. We try to tell one whole story in one setting of the wise men. The wise men came some 2 years after Jesus' birth. It's a different story, a different time period, even though it's in the Gospels. So when we see those things, instead of being a critic all the time, let us be a prophetic seer today. Let us go and say the word. Listen, it was true. Jesus Christ did come. It is true. You must be born again. And it's true, if you are born again, you will go to heaven. How long? Forever. But we also must say the other side, because we like to talk about the good stuff. If you don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're obviously on the track to where? Hell, forever, separated from God. We cannot just say the candy cane story of Christmas. We've got to say the results. If you follow Christ, do it God's way, you get God's results. If you disbelieve God and you want to do it your own way, and like, that's just a story, you're going to get God's results. Because God tells us what the end result is for both ways. Whether you believe or whether you choose not to believe, God is going to hold you accountable. You are responsible for knowing the way out. You say, well, give me an example. Let me give you an example today. Today, all of a sudden, ceiling falls. You know, a church in the upstate Greenville, the steeple caved in. Did y'all see that? The whole steeple caved in and just fell into the sanctuary, just kind of folded into itself. Y'all are not safe. Just kidding. This is all still. If you go there and look, it's bolted together. We check it on a regular basis. But if we had a 10-second count and said, the ceiling's going to fall, how many of you guys are going to run over old people to get out? Why are y'all laughing? Because you know it's true. Some from the older folks and some from the younger folks looking around going, who am I going to get, right? The old story is, there might be a line to outrun. Well, you don't have to be the fastest, just fastest and the slowest, right? To get out, let's say the building's going to fall and we had time to get out. How many of you guys would get out? If we said, fire, fire, fire in the compartment, there's fire here, how many would get out? Well, not many hands. Y'all are a bunch of dummies if you don't understand fire, right? If there's fire, I'm getting out. Get out. Get out of the fire. Get out of what's coming. Listen, fire, we understand this as humans, if you've been around any time, fire burns. What does it do to our flesh if we stay in the fire? It consumes it, right? It's gone. So if we say there's a fire coming, if the Christmas tree's ignited and there was some fuel that accelerated it, we saw it, when we start seeing the fire, oftentimes it's too late. But let's say it's just enough time. I want you to take your finger just as a entertain me for a second. Which way would you go if there's a raging fire right here in the front right now? Which way would you go? Look, you're all going to die. You're pointing to the same door. Look this way. Look back here. There's a way that you can actually go in and around. If it's here, you can still go over the choir and get out. There's a lot of ways out. Everyone pointed to that way. Why? Because typically, for most of us, that's how we came in. Every sign that says exit, that's the way out. The smart thing would be to follow the exit. If this was jammed up, go to that one. If we said, listen, this Christmas season, point to the way to get out of the fires of hell, not that we want to escape hell, we want to live for Jesus, how would we go? We can take our fingers and say, the Bible says very clearly we must trust in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he is the way, he's the gateway to heaven, and we have access to the Father. So we can all point what the story says. The problem is do we truly believe what the Word says? Do we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? So my challenge to you today is if you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, at least tell somebody how to get out of the fire. Amen? And if he's not your Lord and Savior, you came in today and you just came to church today, listen, I challenge you to at least question God. God, is this stuff real? And receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I can tell you as a man who lived B.C. before Christ and after Christ, listen, this is the greatest thing God's ever gifted me with. I have a wonderful wife, wonderful children, wonderful grandchildren, but it's nothing like the wonderful salvation I have in Christ alone. So the challenge today is, will you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Will you follow him obediently through his baptism and through his understanding of the teaching that he wants you to have so that you can actually go and make disciples? Will we, as Christians, this Christmas season, be obedient to Christ? Yes, I think God gives us the chance of laughter. It comes from God. Emotions come from God, good and bad. We're made in the image of God. This Christmas season, will you get past your emotions of, I'm afraid, I'm just an introvert, I'm whatever, fill in the blank, whatever the psychology has told you, can you throw it in the garbage and say, listen, God has called me as his messenger, and I will go if he gives me an opportunity to go. Would you say that to him this morning? If the answer is yes, listen, congratulations, he's going to use you. Get ready, he's going to stress you a little bit and put you on an adventure, but it's a kingdom adventure that he wants you on. Because he's still writing his story today with your life and with mine. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, we all know this sermon. We could preach this sermon. Even some of the youth could preach this sermon today. That Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. While we know that's true, from your word, Lord, we oftentimes don't act like it's true as we practice and live out life. So, Lord, today, would you help us? Help us become the men and women of God you want us to be. Lord, even our hang-ups and our holdovers, whatever it might be that we're holding us back, Lord, would you help us to get over ourselves so that we can actually tell the world about Jesus Christ? There's a dying world who needs to know that the fire has been lit. The fire has started. But also they need to know there's hope and there's an exit. There's a way to heaven, to the Father, you, Father, through Jesus Christ. Help us articulate this in a way that, Lord, people would understand, but with a passion that comes from the Holy Spirit. Not we ourselves doing the work, but you, Holy Spirit, doing the work through us. Lord, we need your help today. Give us holy boldness this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen.